May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The very fact that grace, everything starts with grace, the God sequence is that to experience the grace of God, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this was one of the original life verses for me, and Paul had this thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. The truth is, there's not a theologian or a teacher out there, no matter what they've told you, or a prophet who know what it was. God didn't tell us what it was on purpose so that we wouldn't know what it was, because it kind of covers everything. But he just calls it a weakness. And he said, concerning this weakness, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He begged God to take it away. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will whether boast or be honest about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, or with insults, or distresses, or persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so the end of this is that power is perfected. Grace, the sufficiency of grace is activated. Strength is made perfect, but it precipitates a coming clean about weakness. And weakness is a word that just covers all kind of categories. It can be a tendency towards sin, a weakness towards certain areas of sin, just a weakness in your intellect, a weakness in whatever, but it covers everything. And whatever was going on with Paul, he begged for the Lord to take it away three times. It could have been something physical or some sense of inadequacy, or the scripture refers to the fact that he was a terrible speaker. You know, he had some eye issues, we don't know. But what God said to him is his grace was sufficient, that power was perfected in weakness. And so when we talk about living in the grace of God, again, that gospel within the gospel, 2 Corinthians 9:8, we're going to keep talking about that until it's running out of your ears and out of your eyeballs, because it's the gospel within the gospel. Everything starts there. And it says, and God, who has limitless ability, has abounded all grace, that you, always having all sufficiency in everything, may abound to everything you put your hand to. But to come to a place where you experience grace by the nature of grace, by grace we're saved through faith. To become a Christian, you may not use this language, but what you've come to is an utter despair of your own ability to save yourself. Coming clean about your weakness to forgive your own sin, to cleanse you from your own sin. And throwing yourself in utter absolute faith on the grace, the free gift of God's ability to forgive. Well, every step of the Christian life is the same way. And so to be able to walk supernaturally in the power of God means that you're walking in the grace of God. I love those scriptures because what it says is that everything God requires of you, he's already put in you. Therefore, nothing that God asks of you seems unreasonable to him. It only seems unreasonable to us. Grace is already put in you, everything God might ask of you or require from you or call out of you. It's so important to understand that. Because how many times do we have conversations? As a pastor, do I have conversations with people who are dreading something or some event, or I don't know, this is so hard, and can I do this? We talk, and I'll say, now I can't predict to you what this is going to look like. I have no idea what that person is going to do, how they're going to behave, what the situation is going to be like. But what I can tell you, that the all-sufficiency of the grace of Christ will be there. You already have it. And so it may seem hard to you, and you wish you weren't walking in this, but it's not unreasonable at all to God that he's asking you to walk there, because he's already put in you what he's requiring of you. And it's a free gift. All you got to do is take it. But to experience that, according to 2 Corinthians 12, and just the reality that grace is God and all God, we have to come to a place of absolute surrender. And the repentance of self-effort, self-initiative, self-glory? Because it's all grace. And throughout the ages, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, we're going to be those trophies that are going to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Not to the praise of the glory of our effort, or to the praise of the glory of our sincerity, or to the praise of the glory of our ability, but to the praise of the glory of His grace. And thus, there was a man named Joe Church. Joe Church was an Anglican physician who, in the late 1920s, like 1929, he, having graduated from medical school, went with a few friends to Rwanda and Kigali to be a medical missionary. And there, with another brother who's an African that I've never been able to pronounce his name, they, after a season of several years of ministering and not seeing the power of God, the grace of God manifest, they began to cry out for revival in their own personal lives. As God began to deal with them and reveal to them that they had been trying to operate in their own ability, even out of sincerity and devotion, like Moses when he killed the Egyptian and buried him, they had to come to a place of deep repentance and brokenness. So that in weakness, in professed weakness, they began to experience the grace of God. In 1947, Joe Church came and brought some Africans with him to England to speak about the great African revival that had broken out in the 30s as a result of the Holy Spirit falling experientially on these two men. And it spread throughout Rwanda and through Uganda. Actually, Uganda became the home base, and all of East Africa. And we referred to as the East African Revival, and there's still remnants of it today. One of the longest standing moves of God in history. And it was all based on coming to a place where you live in utter dependence on the grace of God for Christ Himself and His all-sufficiency to be the source of everything you do, but its foundation was repentance and embracing our weakness apart from Him. And so when they came to England, and every 4 years when he had furlough, they would come to England and travel and speak about this great revival. And there was a man named Roy Hessian, who later wrote one of the great books of the Calvary Road, who was going through a period of real dryness spiritually, but yet he was doing conferences. And he invited them to come and speak at this conference he was doing. And he was in his own desperate condition. You have to understand, England had, because Wales is so connected to England, just in 1905 and 1906, they experienced the Welsh Revival. There were still some rumblings from that, though it didn't last very long. As a matter of fact, Wales was already becoming very hardened. And Joe Church, the statement he made to Roy Hessian was this. He said, "In England, we think revival's blowing the roof off, when truly revival starts with letting the bottom fall out of everything that we're standing on in our own ability. Then comes the other." And I thought that was one of the great statements I've ever read, which is really true. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's here. If you're going to enjoy the wonders and the joy of the grace and the kingdom of heaven, there first is that place of brokenness, repentance. And that was the heart of the East African Revival. Just a few years ago, nine years ago, I consecrated four guys in Kihihi, Uganda. Kihihi is in the western part of Uganda, and just below is Kibali, which is where the East African Revival headquarters ended up settling. And in that consecration, there was a guy from Sudan, and there was a guy from Congo, and there was two from Uganda, and there was about I don't know how many people were there, a number of people. They'd been waiting all day, as you do in Africa. It's supposed to start at 10, and at 3:30, as it began, I was able to, there was several people there. One was a lady who was 105 years old, had been there at the very beginning of the East African Revival. That was one of those divine connections to me, because the East African Revival has always meant so much to me. And reminding myself that the theme of the East African Revival is revival isn't first. It doesn't start off with the roof being blown off. It starts off with the bottom falling out. then you can build a foundation stone on Christ. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.